Hey there, welcome to the show. Well, you know what? Here we go. We're past March break for most. And you know what is going on in the world of real estate? Hey, before I get started down that path of mine, how about I tell you what is coming up in the near future? And you don't want to miss out on this. It is our Simple Seminar webinar. That's right, coming up on Saturday. Saturday, April 27th. That's right, I almost forgot where I had to be at 11 a.m. You could join me for my Simple Seminar webinar. And you know, the last couple, if you might remember, we've been giving away some pretty cool prizes. First and foremost, a couple down payments for some investment properties. I think that worked out pretty well. And then in-house, if you join us during the seminar here at our studio, we give away some pretty cool prizes. So you don't want to miss out on this. So go to thesimpleinvestor.com to register. And it'll be exciting to have everybody back in because you don't want to get to tell you, we got to get ready. And you're probably sitting there saying, ready for what, Todd? Well, you know, the market is going to turn. You know, there's a little bit of it in the ether. But I'll tell you, this week, the U.S. Fed didn't help us. Even though the inflationary number did come down a little. It is funny how many people actually reacted to it, saying, oh, we didn't expect it to. What did you not expect to happen? You know, it's like, it's amazing where, you know, it went from 2.9 this week down to 2.8. Ooh, I know, big number. But when we take a look at the big picture, it does show one important thing. It didn't go back up, which some people were actually thinking it would. They thought that 2.9 was a little bit off tilt and potentially we could go back up, which, why is this important to you and I? Well, as consumers, when the inflationary number goes back up, Bank of Canada, you know what? They'll put their hands in their pockets that they've been doing for a little while, and they're not going to do anything with the interest rates. In fact, you know, for about a half a year, they were sitting there saying and threatening that they're going to move them back up if we weren't good Canadians. So right now, Tiff Macklin, you know, he's going to have to make a decision at the next meeting of the Bank of Canada in April. You know, most people right now are banking on the fact that he's going to do what? Can you hear the crickets? Well, that's what they're going to do. Absolutely nothing. Just like the U.S. Fed did this week, they left their rates, you know, neutral as well. And, you know, it's a little disappointing because there was a lot of hype that we were going to start seeing a little bit of downward pressure on the interest rates. And a couple of weeks ago, Tiff Macklin had the gall to come out and tell everybody, well, I'm afraid of you guys. And what I mean by that was he's afraid that if we bring down the interest rates a little, the real estate market's going to go crazy. That's right. It's going to go nuts. It's like pandemonium. And I keep thinking to myself, Mr. Macklin, do you really think a quarter point is going to blow up the real estate market? You know, you got enough, you know, pressures on us, you know, go from 5 down to 4.75 and you actually believe that the market's going to run away. I'm disappointed to say the least that, you know, the people, the powers that are controlling us right now aren't looking at it at a broader spectrum, you know, outside the box, you know, the usual narrative. You know, right now they're just, they've got this tunnel vision of saying, no, we're going to make sure it gets to 2%. That's the inflationary number they're targeting. And you know what? Quite frankly, how much damage do you have to do to a Canadian family before that happens? You know, I don't know. So for me, you know, part of my typical weekly rant about real estate will encompass the Bank of Canada because of what they did to us in the first place. You know, they said they weren't going to raise them very fast. What did they do? They hurt everybody. And I know there's a few people, and it's so funny. Social media is such a funny thing. You know, when you see people comment on social media, it's like, oh, it serves them right, those investors. Really? Really? Is that what you're saying? You know, it serves them right for buying a property. Well, you know what? People want to buy properties. You know, why do people buy properties, first and foremost? You know, of course, to live in, right? Put a roof over your head. How about the fact that most people buy them because they want an investment tool because maybe they don't have a pension? I mean, for the naysayers out there, you know, the trolls that we call them, do you actually want to have more people that are being taken care of by the state, meaning the government? I mean, is that really what you want? Hey, look, if you can independently go out and take care of yourself, why not allow everybody to do it? So this is where my narrative starts going, you know, a little awry when I start complaining about things such as Bank of Canada. And I know, listen, all of us should. And of course, we should be complaining about the politicians in play today. I can start at the top because it's always better to start at the top because everybody knows that the proverbial stuff flows downhill, right, from the top. So let's talk about somebody that had a statement out this week. And I got to tell you, if you catch my Simple Podcast, you go follow me on Instagram, The Simple Investor One, you're going to catch more of a narrative to this from me. But because this is a family rated show, you know, I have to be very careful what I say. But Jagmeet Singh, okay, everybody knows who he is. He is the leader of the federal NDP. This week, he turned around and he tweeted, okay, or X'd or whatever you want to call it. I forget what it is. He said, when rent goes up, so do the profits of the rich investors. Yeah. Hey, Jagmeet, did you see what happened to the interest rates? Okay, now let's get back to that. Justin Trudeau and Pierre Poilievre have allowed greedy investors to buy affordable homes, renovate tenants, and jack up rent. The NDP's Renters Protection Fund will protect you. Liberals and conservatives won't. All right, let's have a kind of a unfolding of this entire thing. Mr. Singh, are you aware that the federal government has nothing to do with rents in a province? I mean, I would like you to take a look at your Rolex on your wrist. Oh, by the way, and your other 7 investment properties, and tell us why you think the federal parties have anything to do with it. Look, I may not like politicians, but those two guys did nothing to jack rents. They do nothing with rent evictions, okay? And to say greedy landlords getting rich, hey, buddy, look in the mirror. Because quite frankly, when the big picture comes out, okay, landlords aren't getting rich right now. Let's be clear. The majority of landlords were working with variable rate mortgages. A lot of them are underwater. What you're afraid to actually come out and say, speculators. So, Mr. Singh, I would like to give you a terminology lesson. Real estate investors are good people. If we don't have real estate investors, we won't have rental properties for the mass number of tenants that need to live somewhere. When we talk about real estate speculators, those potentially are the people that are going to turn around, buy brand new condos, let's say, and try to flip them before they need to close them. So you have speculators that won't hold very long. They're there for profit. And you have real estate investors that are actually trying to do something for people and for their families. So, you know, this is one of the things that people say, hey, Todd, you know, you need not to pick on, you know, politicians so much. But you know what? I'm getting sick and tired of it. You know, they're pointing fingers at the people that are actually providing housing for the tenants that they can't provide housing for. So if you want to talk about the federal government, Mr. Singh, who you've been supported, by the way, through this entire thing. Let's be clear. You've supported them through the entire thing. So how about the fact that, you know, we can promise people and say, we're going to build 1.5 million homes. And by the way, that's not even going to come close. You know, the borders are wide open, so you got way too many people coming in, not enough housing. But when you sit there and say, we're going to build $1.5 million homes, Mr. Singh, I think you said the same thing. And yet, how? And by the way, Mr. Poilievre, he's just the leader of the opposition. What's he going to do? He doesn't control anything because you're on the other coattails. So big picture stuff, we have to be clear on what we're talking about. So federal government, just for everybody's understanding, has nothing to do with rent control, by the way. That's a provincial mandated section. We talk about the LTB. Again, that's provincial, okay, not federal. So the only thing you can talk about right now, why rents potentially could be going up, is because we have a mass immigration coming in, which means too many people versus not enough houses. That's about it. Yeah, there's no other conversation to be had. Okay, you can't sit there and blame, you know, a federal government for rent evictions. You can't blame them about greedy landlords. And, you know, I take offense to this, as most people can tell, because as a landlord, we do everything to provide affordable housing as opposed to what is being stated in a lot of the media sources. So again, folks, you know what? I know it's a little bit of a rant and, you know, I have no party affiliation. It's better to say it that way. But, you know, when I'm calling out the wrong people and just trying to hit a platform and, you know, saying that, you know, when we're the government, well, you know what? Right now, you're not even talking and making any sense. So I don't know if that even's going to ever happen. So, but big picture stuff is when we talk about real estate, we are in the spring market. We need the Bank of Canada to finally come off the interest rates. I think it will happen. I was, basically betting on sometime in April or maybe a, special meeting that they'd throw together in May because they need to. But if it doesn't happen in April, maybe we see it in June. And if that happens, then I think the real estate market will move forward a little. But we need to worry more about the typical Canadian family right now. Okay. Interest rates don't just impact mortgages. When we take a look at everything going on, we can talk about obviously the big looming carbon tax in April. But again, it's one, one leader just completely not listening to Canadians. And this is the problem. You know what? I think that there's got to be more power given to the average Canadian family. Less taxes. And quite frankly, people are sitting there saying, oh, but we need it. No, we don't. We don't need carbon tax. We don't need to increase the carbon tax. The money's not going to where it's supposed to, even though they say, well, we rebate most of it. Well, quite frankly, I don't think it's happening. And so from a real estate perspective, people are being affected. People that don't own real estate are being affected. Just the overall Canadian is being affected by the existing government in place. Coming up after the break, I've got Desmond Brown joining me. Desmond's a great guy. He used to actually be in the media arena and is a full-time realtor. And I did catch up to him with a event a little while ago I was speaking at. And so it was great to catch up. And he's going to be here in studio when we come back. And remember, if you're not following me on Instagram, make sure you do. The Simple Investor One. And we'll be right back after this. And welcome back. As I mentioned just before the break, my next guest joining me here in studio, I'm really thrilled actually to have him join me. I ran into Desmond Brown at an event a few weeks ago. And for those of you that are familiar with the name, you should be, because Desmond has been had been a journalist for quite a few years. But he kind of bookended his career with real estate. He currently is a realtor working at REMAX Hallmark Realty downtown Toronto in the Beaches area. And if he catches his podcast, of course, it's called Sold in the Six. But Desmond's got a really distinguished career because he did a lot of reporting kind of through the, that 2000 era, came back into real estate in 2009 and has, rocketed to success once again. And Desmond, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Todd. Thanks very much for having me.
It was great catching up to you. So you and I were at the Ontario Real Estate Conference a little while ago, and it was great running into you. And so, I know you've got your podcast. You speak very highly of real estate. I think it's important that our listeners know that, one of the most important things is that we deal with professionals like yourself. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you before we get too far down into the market and politics and everything else, what brought you back into real estate? I mean, you were successful in journalism. You worked with a lot of the different stations and things like that. So what kind of drew you back into real estate?
Well, what actually got me into journalism, first of all, was that there was always a dream that I had, but I screwed up so badly in high school that I could not get into a community college or anything like that after I graduated. So I went out and I worked for the Better Business Bureau. And then my uncle, I was selling ads for the Better Business Bureau magazine they had. And my uncle was a realtor out in the Durham region. And he said, Des, I like your personality. You'd be a great realtor. So I said, really? He says, all you have to do is go and knock on 50 doors a day. I guarantee you'll make $50,000 a year. Now, back in 1985, 50 grand was a lot of money,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So I took him up on it and I got my license and I started selling. And there was just that little bit of emptiness in me still for not being a journalist. So I was in real estate for about 11 years. My wife had, we got married in 95 and she just finished doing her MBA. She was a lawyer, went back to school, did her MBA. She says, okay, Desi, now it's your turn. You always wanted to go to journalism school, so go do it. So I did it and I dropped out after 2 years because I got a job with the National Post. Mm-hmm. And then I was let go with the first wave of the layoffs there after 3 years. And then I was lucky enough to land on air at CTV. So I was there for 7 years. And then you said to me, why did I get back into real estate? Well, I figured I wasn't going anywhere. I like the joke that I really wasn't as good a journalist as I thought I was. I wasn't going anywhere. And I also joked that I didn't want to be standing in front of yellow police tape on the day before I retired. So, you know, we all go into journalism, especially broadcast journalism, thinking we're going to be the next Lloyd Robertson, right?
Sure.
They didn't see that in me at all. So I decided to get back into real estate, and Ken McLaughlin, who owns Remax Hallmark, who is a good friend of mine right back in the 80s when we both started at Remax Hallmark, said, Desi, just come back.
Yeah,
nice. Come back. So I got my license again, and I worked as a manager with him, and then got back into sales. So
good for you.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, it's interesting because, you know, real estate is one of those careers that, for the right people, they can pick it up and you know, take off from where they started. But you know, as I know, and I talked about this off air, is that, you know, I'm a big you know, obviously proponent of, you know, full time.
Okay.
And you know, so let's just talk about, you know, your style of real estate, because, you know, every realtor looks at things a little differently. I'm pretty sure you put in lots of hours, and especially in a marketplace like today.
Well, I had to start over again. That's the thing. I mean, I have a really, really good friend, and I was the best man at his wedding, and he was selling a house when after I got back, and he sold a place in Hogs Hollow there for, I think it was probably $3.5 million.
Wow.
But he had another realtor at that time because I had left. And then he bought another one for over four, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the reality was, you know, I had to start over again. And I always said it's probably one of the best things that ever happened to me was to leave and come back, because I had to adapt to the new technology that was out there. I had to get rid of my pager.
Yeah.
You know, my flip phone and my pager.
Yeah.
And actually adapt to the new environment and take on all of the new techniques that all of the new agents were doing. And that's what I did. And that truly, really helped me, you know, to be pretty successful again in selling.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of people would remember your name, especially, you know, in our age demographic, because, you know, seeing you on TV, you know, seeing what you write and things like that. And so name recognition and brand recognition, I've always been a big fan of. Mm-hmm. And in real estate, I think it's very key. That, you know, it's funny because I've talked about this in the past where, you know, a lot of agents are more worried about putting their picture on their advertisement. But, you know, you and I both know if you see a picture but don't see the name, you don't know who to call. And I always say, listen, make your name bigger than life. I mean, that's the most important thing. People have to remember your name. And I think you have one of those names that people do remember just because you've been in media as well. So it's kind of recognizable.
It has. And that, I did put my picture on my signs,
yeah,
just so people would, you know, recognize who I was. Like, hey, that is the Desmond Brown. So I think I'm at the stage now, after being back for 14 years, that I don't need my picture on my sign. So I'm moving on to a different sign as well.
Yeah.
I still have my old ones with the pictures on it.
Sure.
And just to be clear out there, I am not the Desmond Brown at CBC. I was a journalist before this Desmond Brown at CBC, so I still get hate mail from stuff that he's writing.
No.
Right? And I always say, no, I'm not that Desmond Brown. So Desmond Brown from CBC, if you're out there, add an initial to your name. I was around before you.
Yeah, that's why I did the Todd C. Slater. Nobody could do it. There's actually an artist by the name of Todd Slater.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, when people would Google it, they're saying, I didn't know you were an artist. I'm not an artist. So I threw in the C there in the very early days so people would know who I was. So,
yeah,
you know, it makes a lot of sense. You know, Desmond, I do want to talk to you, obviously, about the real estate market. You know, here we are. We're coming into the spring. There's so many things that are going to happen, I think, over the next few months. You know, we could talk about the Bank of Canada today. I do want to talk to you about that. I do want to talk about some of the political, you know, rhetoric that's happening right now. There's been a lot of things in the news recently. You know, people talking about, you know, fairness of, you know, rents and controls and rent evictions. You know, a lot of people are talking about greedy landlords, folks. That, you know, this is definitely part of the avenue that when we start talking about, you know, real estate in itself, you know, we've got to call a spade a spade. And, you know, there's so many pieces to this puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, before you and I dive into it full tilt, you know, the one thing I do just, you know, quickly to get your opinion, you know, Jagmeet Singh came out the other day, you know, stating that he felt that both the Conservatives and Liberal parties of Canada have been the ones driving the rents up. And, you know, I just want to say, hang on, Mr. Singh, let's be clear. First of all, rents aren't a federal mandate, never have been, never will be. That's a provincial part. And, you know, Des, what do you think?
But aren't they really good at muddying the waters?
Sure are.
Like really muddying the waters. And Jagmeet knows exactly who his base is.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of, I guess, anger towards people that are making it out there these days, landlords and so on, and the blame, you know, pointing at landlords for a lot of things that are really unfair. I mean, there are good landlords or bad landlords or good tenants and bad tenants.
Exactly.
You know, we need the politicians to do their job. And that is, you know, more when it comes to housing, as you know, it's more a municipal and provincial level. I don't know where Mr. Singh is getting off on saying things like this, except to try to confuse people or, I guess just to, like I said, get back to his base. Like, oh, great, he's standing up for us. There's an election coming up, we know. Right now, the Liberals are not that popular, even though he's been in bed with them for the last few years, right?
Yeah.
But he knows what he's got to do now because, you know, I think Justin Trudeau is going to leave the Liberal Party the same way Mr. Mulroney, and may he rest in peace, left the Conservative Party, where they ended up with two seats because it was just so bad. He's well past his best before date, right? He should have left a long time ago. He's going to leave that party with basically nothing. Jagmeet knows that. So he's vying to be, he knows his next step is probably going to be opposition.
Yeah.
He'll be the opposition leader.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. And you know, we'll wait and see. So, folks, we're going to, I'm going to go to break, but I'm going to have Desmond stay put because I want to have more conversations. Obviously, part of the political aspect about what's going on in real estate. And hey, listen, if you're not following us on Instagram, make sure you do it, The Simple Investor One. And don't forget about our upcoming seminar webinar. That is April the 27th. That's a Saturday. Don't miss out. Go to thesimpleinvestor.com. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. If you're just tuning in, my guest of the studio today is Desmond Brown. And you might know the name. You know, Desmond had been a journalist. You would have caught him on all sorts of different shows and articles. And, you know, great having him in. But more importantly, Desmond went back to real estate around 2009 and has been very successful. You know, very, very focused professional agent. That's what we need more of in the industry. And Desmond, just before the break, you and I were talking about the I guess, the statement made by Jagmeet Singh, leader of the NDP. You know, he was going off about how the federal, the Conservatives and Liberals, they turned around and they're the ones who are creating all the problems. But one of the part of his statement, and I take it to heart, is that he keeps calling landlords greedy and they're getting rich. And I don't know the last time Mr. Singh took a look at the interest rates, but I can guarantee you there's no landlords getting rich. And if you're talking about the GTA, just so we're clear, Mr. Singh, I would like you to put a new battery in your calculator and let me run some numbers for you. If you take your average condo today and if an investor turns around and puts 20-25% down on that condominium based on natural rents that happen today in the condominium, so we are clear, that landlord is going to be underwater every single month about $1,500. Now, when people lose $1,500 a month, I don't know, Mr. Singh, I don't know how your math works or how your Rolex, when you take a look at it on your wrist, works. But quite frankly, there is no way you can tell me people are getting rich when they are going negative cash flow. Desmond, you know, I'm pretty harsh on it, but I do get, you know, and it doesn't matter. Mr. Singh just happened to poke the fire. But quite frankly, all these people that have been coming after landlords, you know, in the last few years, landlords, you know, forget about the speculators, because real estate speculation is different than real estate investors. And that's that I know, you know, for sure. It's like, look, if you're going to hang on to something, you're doing it for generational wealth. You're doing it for security. You're trying to do it long term. And look, speculators that come in and out of the market, you know, there's a few of them out there. They kind of hurt the business a little. But quite frankly, I think it is insulting to what landlords today provide, because if we don't have the landlords, these tenants don't have a place to live.
They don't. Somebody has to do it, right? And, you know, the governments have failed.
Oh, totally.
Like, they really have failed. So the landlords have become the people who have supplied the housing. And we've seen that with all the condos downtown, in the downtown Toronto, and probably all across Ontario, because the other municipalities and the other levels of government have not supplied that housing. So you get this individual landlord who, you know, is probably drain money out of their own homes mm-hmm. to buy a property, and then they end up with a bad tenant. And then this tenant all of a sudden doesn't pay rent, and we know that the backlog that we have at the landlord-tenant board is now like 8 months to a year.
Yep.
So they don't pay rent for 8 months to a year. This poor landlord, who, like you said, always was just trying to build some wealth for their family or generational wealth, as you said, is all of a sudden on the way, you know, going under with this.
Yeah.
Right? And we hear these stories all the time.
Yeah. And, you know, it's sad because, you know, the perception, you know, a lot of them, you know, they start talking about rent evictions and all sorts of things. And they said, they flat out came out and said that these governments removed rent control. And it's like, hang on, one more point to be made. Rent control is still in place in Ontario. In fact, that is still a provincial governance. And big picture, the only thing that the Ford government did was to spur more building. He took rent control off anything that was brand new after 2018, meaning anything newer than 2018. So for these people, especially Mr. Singh, he should know better. But of course, as you said, he's probably trying to, you know, pander to his base. I don't know. I'm kind of hoping either the Green Party or one of the other parties get come into second place, because I'll tell you what, the Liberals and the NDP, they don't have a clue on what they're talking about when we talk about real estate. I mean, no. Look, Desmond, you know for a fact, you still follow all the facts. I know that, you know, look, at once, you know, once a journalist, you're always going to be a journalist.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
It's in your
curiosity is always there.
It's in your soul. So here's the thing. I mean, take a look at the numbers of people immigrating into Canada. Tell me, what do you think? I mean, like, it's going through the roof, but we can't build it.
No, we can't. You know, GTA, what are we, around 500,000 a year with immigration?
Just in GTA.
Yeah, just GTA.
Yeah.
I guess that takes me to another topic right now, which is the foreign buyers ban.
Yeah.
Right? They're looking for scapegoats.
Totally.
You know, and what percentage does a foreign buyer make up of the number of sales that we have in our country?
Oh, small, small, small. At the peak, it was like 4%.
Yeah.
At the peak.
So probably, yeah. Maybe 2% last year, because we have the bans. We have the federal bans. And then the city of Toronto thought, oh, we'll jump in on this too. We're going to ban them here in Toronto. And I think the provincial government has a ban. And like, it just has me scratching my head so much, because politics, or the politicians, are just playing politics.
Yeah.
That's all it is, you know, and they're doing things that they feel are going to help their careers for them to stay elected.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have the scapegoating, and Phil Soper talked about it when I was heading that panel or moderating that panel in Ottawa
right.
at the Reality Conference. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, it is, because one of the things I think people have to understand is the fact that, you know, we talk about it here on the show, and you know, we're over 10 years old here for this show, Simply Real Estate. But for the last 10 years, I've been saying there's been a supply problem. And even 10 years ago, I started saying there was a supply problem. Now it's front and center, and people still don't want to admit it. Like, you know, they're sitting there saying, well, it's the greedy landlords buying the properties. It's the speculators buying the properties. Look, if you just as you said, Desmond, you put 500,000 people into the GTA in 1 year, but you don't match it. And, you know, to match it even home for home, the bare minimum was 100,000 to 125,000 to put four people per home,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't even get close. In fact, in Canada alone, we can only do about 230,000 in all of Canada. And the GTA, if we're lucky, pulls 50,000. So for that, for everybody to sit there and say, we don't have an inventory problem, it's like, give your head a shake. We do.
Do we ever. And, you know, I've criticized the Ford government too, because they, about their 1.5 million homes over the next 10 years,
yeah.
Very ambitious. But at least it's ambitious.
Yeah.
You know, at least it's ambitious. And Toronto, Olivia Chow, well, probably more under Tory before Olivia Chow came in, exceeded their goals and got some extra money from the provincial government as a result of that. We have a long way to go.
You know,
not only is it ambitious, but the other factors that come into play, such as interest rates are higher. So, you know, the developers aren't really thinking of building because of that. Started, material costs are up. labor costs are up. So all of these factors have put everything back as well. So yeah, like you said, are we going to be able to reach these goals, or do we be able to house the number of people coming in? Doesn't look good.
Nope.
Doesn't look good at all.
No, and you know, when we talk about numbers, you know, here's what I'd really like. So I always throw out to, you know, some of the leaders. And so Mr. Ford, you know, I know you're a regular listener to the show. I appreciate it, of course. But here's the thing. I would like you to tell me how many homes extra you built last year. Yeah, give me that number, right? Because, you know, everybody can talk about 1.5 million homes in the next 10. What did you do last year? And that's the number nobody wants to produce, right? And right now, you know, everybody's on this victory tour, cutting ribbon, saying we're going to build 400 more homes in this municipality. When? Like, I want to see them finished. I want to see that you got that number done. And that's not happening. And we've got a tsunami coming our way. And that's the fact that we've got the, you know, 40% of our tradespeople are going to retire in the next few years, just because they're at the end of their rope.
Yeah. Younger people out there, get a trade. Get a trade, for sure.
You don't realize how much money they can make.
Yeah, but Ontario is being built. It's being rebuilt, actually.
Yeah.
Right? It's a good time, right? It's a really good time. Be an electrician, you know, or something like that.
I think the average electrician is making like $240,000 a year. I mean, you know.
Pretty good.
I'm thinking that there's going to be a bunch of doctors that are going to go back and go to school to become electricians because it's a little easier. But no, it's incredible where you know, the misguidance of the governments at all levels is that they're not solving our problem. And hey, folks, you know, that's one of the things that we try to do is solve problems here on the show. And of course, during my seminar coming up on April the 27th, that's a Saturday, 11 a.m., the Simple Seminar webinar, we do solve a lot of problems there because we talk about investment real estate, we talk about generational wealth, and we got some great giveaways. So go to thesimpleinvestor.com to register. And when we come back, I've got more with Desmond Brown, so stay with us. We'll be right back after this. And welcome back. If you're just tuning in, my guest right now is Desmond Brown. And Desmond is a professional realtor. He is with Rebex Hallmark Realty. He's in the Beaches. And you know, Desmond has had two careers, actually. He was a realtor, then a journalist, then a realtor again.
Hold on. I was a taxi driver, too.
Oh.
Yeah, before I...
Well, I'm not going to say. And then his final career is an Uber driver. No, we're not going to go there. But, you know, Desmond, it's interesting because, you know, the world of real estate... you know, when I first got into it, and even when you first got back into it in the 80s, you know, we measured things more on a quarterly basis. And then, you know, as times move forward, it was a monthly, then a weekly, then now it seems like it's hourly. Like every single transaction now is measured hourly. You know, technology, of course, has advanced, so it makes it easier. But it's amazing how tight the market is. And of course, one of the biggest reasons why this is happening is because we are sitting with bated breath, waiting for the Bank of Canada to say something. We're waiting for Tiff Macklin to open up his mouth and say, it's going to be a quarter point reduction. And of course, you know, we had the CPI come out this past week. People were shocked, actually. It went down even though it was 0.1, everybody's like, oh no, we never expected that. We thought it was going to go up. So it went from 2.9 to 2.8. You know, previously to that, it was 3.4 to 2.9. You know, and here's the thing. Everybody is wondering, when is the Bank of Canada finally going to pull the trigger? Do you have the magical answer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go, exactly. Folks. Get ready.
Of course.
Get your checkbook ready.
Yeah, of course I don't. Like you said, inflation's under control. It seems to be under control now.
No thanks to the government.
Yeah, no thanks at all. I think, you know, as far as real estate goes now, people have accepted the fact that, you know, our prime's going to be around 5. We're in that environment now. Let's just stop sparring, wondering if it's going to go down, where things are going to get better for us. People have to buy and sell all the time for many, many reasons. So we're seeing our spring market now is starting to pick up.
Right.
And if people are buying and selling in the same market, it's all relative. I feel for the younger people coming in who do not have a house to sell and are trying to get into the market, that's where the interest rate really hits them. And also, the one thing to realize too, one real estate transaction has a ripple effect into our economy.
Yeah, of course.
Right? In so many different ways. whether it's furniture, whether it's our home inspectors, our stagers, whether it's, you know, all the renovators that go with it, everything, the
movers,
it. Yeah, movers, all of that.
The pizza you order when.
Exactly. Yeah, while you're moving in. Exactly. So that's, I found, has been, I guess, underestimated, you know, on how important the real estate industry is to the overall economy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to start seeing more traditional markets, Todd. You know, we're going to start way back to, you know, when we started back in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Where the spring's going to be busier. The summer will get a little bit slower.
Yeah.
The fall will get busier again. Christmas will slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
January's...
The cycle.
Yeah, exactly. We'll go back to those cycles again. And the professional realtors who are out there are going to do a great job. The full-time realtors are there for their clients to advise them on when is the best time to sell, when's the best time to buy. The good professional agents now are valuable, a lot more valuable than they ever were when our market was just going through the roof.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, one of the things I was able to have the benefit of is that during the years I was a realtor, when the markets would change and go down, we actually got busier, and it was because of the effort, marketing, and exposure that we would give people's homes. And, you know, it's amazing because, you know, some of the top teams are still doing exceptionally well because of the money that they put into, you know, the marketplace. You know, people like yourself as a professional realtor, you invest into it. So, you know, this is where people that are truly professional are going to stay busy. But, you know, there's a lot of fall off, a lot of people complaining, you know, they're dead. You know, I've heard a lot of stories throughout the industry. You know, there are agents that are dropping out. They're the ones that came in for the quick buck. And you know what? If that's the case, hey, good. Bye-bye. Thanks for coming out. You know, you don't need somebody that's here just for the money. You need somebody that's going to treat their client with respect, educate them, you know, be professional, be there for them. That's one of the things that I am adamant about when we talk about realtors, especially, and the actual industry itself. But, you know, here's the thing. So we come into a spring market, you know, interest rates are going to probably inch down, you know, and not that it's going to happen right away, but we know that, you know, they can't leave it as at the level that it's at currently. As they do inch down, as long as people, I think, look at the end of the tunnel, they see the light, that they don't go running too fast. And, you know, a lot of people, Tiff Macklin had made a comment that he figured that, okay, as soon as he drops by quarter point, market's going to explode. I would say, Tiff, you know what? I appreciate your commentary on this, but I disagree, because it just means it's 4.75. It's not 5. And quite frankly, it's not like all of a sudden that makes everything
a huge cut
in half. Like, it's not. You know, we still have the stress test. We still have, you know, it will be a higher interest rate. Yes. And we'll never get back to the pandemic, you know, interest rate level unless they throw in another pandemic. Like, we're never going to see that interest rate again.
No. No, we're not. And, you know, you mentioned the stress test, and it just kind of made me giggle, you know, because governments have tried every little tactic to slow down the real estate markets all the way through. And it all comes back to our number one problem, which is our supply.
Yeah.
It does. So, yeah, quarter point's not going to make much of a difference. It really won't. Yeah.
I think it'll get a few people off the fence. But here's the thing. There's a lot of pent-up demand. Look, if you force, you know, would-be buyers, people that want to get into their first home, people that have to move, if you put their hands in their pockets for almost 2 years, sooner or later, if they see a little light at the end of the tunnel, yes, they're going to hop into the market. And one other thing, it's the spring market. You and I both know this is the high time. So if all of a sudden they say, oh, look, listings are up or sales are up, it's the spring market. Like read the audience. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's that simple.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah, it really is. Listen, Desmond, I can't tell you how thrilled I am to have you can join me. And hey, listen, I know you're going to have me on your podcast. Tell us about your podcast.
Yeah, so my podcast is called Sold in the Sticks, and it's basically a consumer-oriented podcast where I talk about different things like, you know, estate planning. I had a lawyer on recently, Gary Cass, to talk about how people plan for their estates, you know. I talk to home inspectors. I talk to stagers. I talk to people like Tim Hudak, the CEO of the Ontario Real Estate Association, about, I just had him on recently, about some recommendations that he had to solve our housing crisis and so on.
Sure.
And he was on that task force that the province had as well.
Yep.
So a lot of great information, and I have great guests, And I always say that my podcast is only as good as the guests I have. And I just try to stay out of the way and let their expertise take over. And it's really, really informative. And I'm so glad that you are going to be a part of it.
Yeah, look, I'm looking forward. So folks, make sure you tune in to into Desmond's podcast. I'm going to have a lot of fun on it, I'm sure. And, you know, that's it's amazing how quickly, you know, the show goes every single week. And Desmond Brown, thank you once again for joining me.
Oh, good. Great, thank you for having me.
Yeah, great having you on. And folks, so as I mentioned earlier, so coming up, that's right, Saturday, April the 27th, there's the Simple Seminar webinar. So what do we do there? You know, you can come in-house out to the studio. It's kind of fun. Last time, I think we gave away, probably about 10 or 20,000 in prizes. That's right. We kind of help people out with, covering, lawyers' fees and deposits and things like that. We also gave away two down payments for one-bedroom units in London. That was exciting. And that was a follow-up from the one that we did before with three. So people keep saying, Todd, are you going to do it again? Well, I guess you'd have to be here to find out. You know what? Maybe I'm in a giving mood. Maybe I want to see more people become real estate investors because I really think it's a great thing for you, your family, creating generational wealth. I think it's so important. So tell you what, why don't you register? Go to thesimpleinvestor.com. Love to see you here in studio. If not, can't make it, you can always catch us on the webinar. That's right. You got to be live if you want to have a chance at winning. You know, hint, hint, if you want a chance at winning, you're going to have to listen to what's going on. But other than that, I do want to thank everybody for tuning in every single week, making us the number one real estate talk show in Canada. You know, it's been amazing being able to do this. I think we're coming up almost on our 500th show. So, you know, it just, I don't know if I got another 500 in me, but we'll keep doing what we do. The only way I can do this, though, is I do have to thank my producer, Aiden, in the control booth. He makes it simple for me every single week. And of course, we've got Ian Grant at head office, making sure we do what we're supposed to do. And again, I will be back next week as usual. I'm your host, Todd C. Slater. You've been listening to Simply Real Estate right here on News Talk 1010 Toronto.